I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. A lot of us depend on domestic workers, you know, the people who allow us to live our lives. Nannies, cleaners, caregivers. I think we can all agree they play a key role in America. Yet many of those workers are not protected by federal and state labor laws. That's where Ai-Jen Poo comes in. She's the director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. For nearly two decades, she's pushed to improve working conditions for the people who toil in our homes. And this week, she found out that she's a MacArthur Genius Award winner. I asked her what it was like to get the call.
It was shocking and incredibly exciting and a little bit anxiety-producing.
Why anxiety-producing? Because now you've got to come up with something.
Well, no, not so much that. Just it's such a huge opportunity. So just thinking about all the possibilities and, you know, for our movement, the reality that defines our movement is invisibility. And so to have this visibility and this platform, you just, you want to take advantage and make sure that you're really elevating all the right goals and the vision and the stories.
Yeah. I mean, you're now director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance, but I mean, this community is a huge community. And before there was this alliance, I mean, how do you even start to kind of organize a group of 1 to 2 million workers? I mean, where did you even find them?
It starts really woman by woman, story by story, case by case, organizations, and just going where you know you will find nannies and cleaners and caregivers in the parks and the playgrounds, in congregations and private schools when they let out after school.
So you spoke about kind of story by story. You kind of understand what this community is all about. Is there one story you know well that you kind of often use to illustrate what these domestic workers are up against?
Well, there was one case that we worked on where a woman came to this country because her own child had a medical condition where they needed very expensive medication. And so she came to the United States to work and ended up finding a job as a caregiver for a child with a disability in Queens and ended up doing all of the cooking, cleaning, ironing, and washing for a family of six. And it was 14 to 16-hour days, 6 days a week. Her one day off was Sunday, and she was paid about $3, less than $3 per hour. Mm. And her sleeping quarters were in the basement where there was an overflowing sewage system. And after 3 years working under those conditions, she was called in on her one day off only to be fired with no notice and no severance pay.
Wow.
And became homeless overnight.
That's an incredible story. I mean, prior to becoming homeless, did it strike her that something in her work situation was seriously unjust?
Of course. I mean, she had not anticipated that she would be doing all of the caregiving and cleaning for a family of six, and she was exhausted. But she was there to find a way to send money home for her own child, and that was really important to her. So she stayed focused.
How many of the people that you work with are new to the United States and will kind of take any job because it's there and it's a source of revenue?
I would say that depending on where you are in the country, a large percentage of the domestic workforce is immigrant. But there are many parts of the country, like Atlanta, for example, where there's still really large numbers of African-American women and white women who do this work. It's a very diverse workforce. And what I would say about it is that you'll find that a lot of women who do this work really do love taking care of other people. And they do it with pride and a seriousness and a patience that is really profound. And I've borne witness to it for almost 20 years now, and it never ceases to move me. They sort of inherently know the value of this work, and they know that it's the work that makes all other work possible. They know that they make it possible for their employers to go to work with some peace of mind. And, you know, and that is why this coming together and organizing, and this movement has been so important and has grown so quickly, is because they know that it's a path to real recognition and dignity for the workforce.
It sounds like it's going to be a tough road ahead, though, because aren't most domestic workers in this country still unprotected?
Yes, we still have a lot of work to do. So we've 1 in 4 states domestic worker basic protections. And of course, in each of those states, we need to keep building on those victories, and we need to make sure that those policies are enforced. And then we've got 46 more states to work in and to win in. And it's a good thing that we are building right now in 18 of those states. And, you know, in some ways, it builds off of many generations of domestic workers organizing. There was a wave in the 70s that brought inclusion and minimum wage protections. And now this wave, we're taking our place in history. And yes, there's a lot of work to do, and I believe we're up to the task.
Activist Ai-Jen Poo, who's also the director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance, she's just been awarded a MacArthur Genius Grant for her work organizing domestic workers. Thank you very much. Good to meet you.
Great to meet you, too. Thank you.